Welcome to the Tzorba Mirabanan Hilchot Shabbat program with Rabbi Shalom Rosner. Tzorba is a revolutionary halacha sefer which guides you through over 300 topics in Jewish law in a unique signature style. In this weekly series specifically, Rabbi Shalom Rosner learns through the Tzorba Hilchot Shabbat volumes, helping us all master the halachot of Shabbat in just 2 years. Tzorba volumes are available for purchase worldwide on Amazon. And to learn more about Tzorba, or for those in Eretz Yisrael looking to purchase volumes, please head over to tzorbaolami.com. For more information, see the description below. And now, Rabbi Shalom Rosner.
Let's get into the next shiur, the second Bishul shiur here in volume 18 of the Tzorba Meirabanan. Again, the Lax Family Edition. This volume is sponsored Leili Nishpas Yaker Hexter and David Schwartz. David Schwartz, who gave their lives al Kiddush Hashem, defending Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael and Medina Yisrael. This is the last shiur of Bishul de Oraisa. We've had a couple of shiurim, rules of and regulations of Bishul. Today there's a couple of other four topics specifically related to Bishul. And then next time we get into Bishul de Rabbanan, Shehiya, Hachazara, and Hatmana are the next three shiurim, which talk all about Bishul. But today we're still in Bishul de Oraisa. Three discussions. One is different types of Bishul, Bishul Acharafia, Afia Achabishul. Number two, what about preparing toast on Shabbos? Is that an issue? Number three, what about Kirev Bishula, which we already mentioned in the past year, but now we'll see some more sources on it. And finally, number four, a related topic to Bishul, and that is defrosting near a heat source, and the opposite, frosting, about making ice and crushing ice and defrosting ice. So we'll get to all of those today. So Be'ez Hashem, let's start. Bishul achar Bishul. So we are on page 77 in volume number 18. If you're keeping track, source page 77, the next year, Bishul achar Afia. So we learned already the principle of Ein Bishul achar Bishul. And we spoke about the sheet of the Shulchan Aruch, the sheet of the Rambam, the sheet of the Ramah. Remember, the Rambam says, Ein Bishul achar Bishul, period. Doesn't matter if it's liquids, doesn't matter if it's solids. Once something is cooked, it's cooked. The Shulchan Aruch says, Yesh Bishul achar Bishul, by liquids and not by solids, while the Ramah says, Ein Bishul achar Bishul, even by liquids, as long as it is not in its tanin legamre. But that is all where we do the same process. What's called, there are two types of cooking in halacha. There's what we might call moist cooking and dry cooking. Dry cooking is what's called baking, afia or tzli, roasting. That's not in water. But boiling or cooking, like you make noodles in water, or you make something cooked in chicken soup, right? That's cooking. That's bishul. So when you do the same exact halachic process, then for sure, that's what we've been talking about. Ein bishul achar bishul, ein afia achar afia, ein tzli achar tzli. But what happens if one of those processes is different? What about if I do dry cooking and I want to do wet cooking, or vice versa? What if I have noodles and now, which I will make in blue and boiling, and then I want to make it in a dry heat? So that's the sugya of bishul achar afia, afia achar bishul, and that is a major machlokes rishonim between the Baalei HaTosfos. It's really two gemaras. Try to figure out how to put two gemaras together. The gemara in Pesachim, daf mem aleph, gives one impression, and the gemara in Brachas gives another impression. The gemara in Pesachim, daf mem aleph, is talking about the iser of cooking the Korban Pesach. Right? One has to not let it cook, boil the Korban Pesach. It has to be roasted. Right? It has to be kiyim tzli eish, and it cannot be mevushal. So the gemara says, what happens if it was roasted, and then I cooked it? Or I cooked it, and then I roasted it. So says the gemara, bishlo v'yachar kach tzlo v'yachar kach bishlo chayev. Yeah, your chayev daraisa. And it's the daraisa of cooking the Korban Pesach. So says the gemara, bishlo v'yachar kach tzlo chayev. I understand if I cooked it, and then I roasted it. So if I get the roasting, I cooked it. I cooked it, I violate the iser. The habashle, el tzlo v'yachar kach bishlo hatzli yeshu. But if I roasted the Korban Pesach, it's perfect, it's ready to eat, and then I boiled it. So why is that a problem? I already roasted it. Isn't it already done? Answers the Gemara, Amar of Kahana. This is following Rabbi Yossi's opinion. Rabbi Yossi, who says that if you take matzah and you boil the matzah, you are no longer able to use that matzah as matzah's mitzvah because it is now lost its status. That's Rashi's Lashon, right? The Gemara says that you could use soaked matzah. If I soak it in cold water, maybe to make it soft for somebody who can't chew. But if I cook it, so then Rabbi Yossi says, Yosef Berukik Asherei Velobim Mevushal. Why? So Rashi explains, because once you cook it, it loses its status. Rashi on the next page, Pesachim Memalef, Avalobim Mevushal, Delav Lechem Karina Bey, V'yafal Bishikvar Nefa Batanur, and even though it's already baked, It was already baked as perfect matzah. Hoil v'chazer u'bishlo bitlo mitoras lechem. Wow, right? It's matzah, it's no longer matzah. And therefore you can't use it. So what do you see from that Gemara? Says the Yerayim, says Rabbi Elazar Mimetz, if I do one cooking process, and then I do a different type of cooking process, the second cooking process is significant and effective and changes the previous status, and that's why you'd be chayiv for Bishul of Korban Pesach, and that's why the matzah is no longer matzah, and that's why for Hilchas Shabbos, says the Yerayim, right, this is not about Shabbos, but says Hilchas Shabbos, says the Yerayim, it would be a problem too. So that's the Yerayim. Let's read the Yerayim now. Simin Reish Ayin Dalad. That's the simin about Hilchas Shabbos for the Yerayim. Source number three. V'chol davar shenis bashel, o nefa kol tzarcho. Anything that has been cooked or fully baked, you want to put it back? Mutter, it's mutter that we learn a bishul lachem. Bishul, that's a Mishnah in Shabbos. Mishnah in Shabbos, kol shabab b'chamim b'erev Shabbos, shorot aso b'chamim b'Shabbos. But, says the Yerayim, avol yish bishul lachar tzli, v'yishli achar bishul. But if you change the process, so then it's going to be an Isser da'araisa on Shabbos. An Isser da'araisa. The Tani b'psachim, as it says in psachim, he quotes that Gemara, psachim b'm aleph, and you see, Rabbi Yossi Shita. Rabbi Yossi Shita, if you boil matzah, you can no longer use it for matzah. So you see, cooking after baking is significant for matzah, so Zotum is significant for Shabbos, and that's the Shita of the Yerayim. But there's another Gemara. There's a Gemara in Brachas Daf Lamed Ches, where the Gemara there is talking about brachas on vegetables. What bracha do you make on vegetables? You make a bracha on a zucchini, on a cucumber, you make a bracha of Bori Pri Adama. What happens if you cook it and you make it into what's called shlokos? Shlokos, cooked vegetables. Does that change the bracha? So the Gemara says, shlokos, Rabbi Yochanan, mevarchan alav shahakol nihiyeh bedvaro. Right, machlokes, that's the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan. Right, the earlier Shita said, adama shakol nihiyeh bedvaro. So the Gemara says, one second, this seems to be a machlokes tanoim, whether cooking changes the status of the vegetable, seems to be a machlokes tanoim, and what is the Gemara quote? Our machlokes, about matzah. About matzah. Rabbi Yossi says that if you cook matzah, it's no longer matzah. But there's a different shita, right? The Rabbi Meir, we didn't quote Rabbi Meir before, he's the other shita in that brisa, that says, no, even if you cook it, you could use it. So isn't that the same machlok as asked the Gemara? Whether cooking matzah after baking it removes the status of matzah, isn't that the same machlok as cooking a vegetable, whether it changes from a hadama to a shahakol? And the Gemara answers, no. There's no machlokas here. Rabbi Yossi is a special din in matzah. Really, cooking it does not change the status. But Rabbi Yossi is a special din in matzah. It's got to taste like matzah. And once you cook it, it no longer tastes like matzah. The Lohi says the Gemara Brachas Lamelches. The Kuleyama Shlokas Mavarchan Alabar Priyadama. The Akalaka Rabbi Yossi Asam. When does Rabbi Yossi say over there that baking, cooking the matzah is a problem? Ela Mishum Debin on Tam Matzah Valeka. Because it has to taste like matzah. But Rabbi Yossi would agree that it doesn't change the status of a vegetable. What do you see from that Gemara in Brachas? That Rabbi Yossi is a special din of matzah. What's the Yerayim talking about? Rabbi Elazar Mimetz says, you learn from matzah to Hilchas Shabbos. This Gemara sounds like it's a special din in matzah. Says the Ravya, one of the other great Rishonim, Chachmei Ashkenaz, says the Ravya, you see from this Gemara that Ein Bishul Achar Afia. Ein Afia Achar Bishul, there's no problem. No, Ein meaning there's no problem of it. So it's a machlokas between the Ravya and the Yerayim. The Ravya says he heard a shear from the Yerayim. V'shamati mir blazer b'metz. Show you Omer, source number 5 now, on page 80. Ein bishlach ha-bishl b'shabes, v'chein ein afiach ha-rafiyah, v'l yesh afiach ha-bishl, v'yesh bishlach ha-rafiyah. And it says, I think it's wrong. I think the Rishonim were trying to figure out what the Gemara's tell us. So the Gemara Pesachim points in one direction. This Gemara points in another direction. V'lam milsehi. So it's a major machlokas Rishonim, and both shitas are quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch and Shin Yud Ches, we know our simin about Bishul. Shin Yud Ches Sif Hei, the Shulchan Aruch says, source number 6, Yesh Misha Omer, the Davar Shenefe O Netzle. Some say that if something is baked or roasted, that means dry heat. In Bishlo Acharkach B'mashke, Yesh Bo Mishum Bishul. V'azalitin Pasa Filo B'klishedi, which would mean bread. If somebody has bread or matzah, putting it into a hot, for sure, kli rishon, that's cooking it after baking it, that would be a problem. Are you allowed to crush up matzah and put it into your soup? Let's say, forget the soup. That might be a cliche, we'll get to soon. But let's say putting it into a kli rishon. So that would be a problem. The yesh matirin.
and some are matir. So 2 days quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, and the Ramah says we're machmir l'chadchila. Ramah says hagav v'nagul lizar l'chadchila shaloli tein patz afilo b'klisheni kozman sheyad soledespo. So that is step one. Step two, machlokes rishonim, and then step two is Shulchan Aruch quotes both opinions. The Ramah says yesh l'achmir. What does the Shulchan Aruch quote when he quotes two opinions? We'll have to wait and see for a minute. But some achronim, before we even get to that, some achronim point out that there seems to be a steer in the Shulchan Aruch. Because the Shulchan Aruch in the same Siman, Sif Tezvav, Shin Yud Ches at the end of the Sif, Siman, Sif Tezvav, we've quoted this before. When the Shulchan Aruch says, Dover Shin Espasha Kol Tzarcho, Vuhu Yaveh, Shein Bo Marak, when you have something that's dry, you want to reheat it. This was the Ein Bishol Achar Bishol Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says, if it's dry, Mutter Lahanicho Kenegan Amadura, you can put it next to the fire, even where it's going to get the Yatzol Ledespo. But 1 second, it's dry, but maybe it was Mavushal. Maybe it was Mavushal the first time, and now you're putting it into a next to the fire where it's dry, and it's going to be halachically tzli rafia. So doesn't the Shulchan Aruch and Shidur Chesif Tezvav sound like he's allowing dry heat after moist heat? I mean, there's no problem with tzliya or afia achar bishal. So the Bir Halacha points out that problem. The Bir Halacha points out that problem, and he does not give an answer. The Bir Halacha there in Shidur Ches, Sif Tezvav, Tzarech Iyun, Halael B'Sifhei, in Sifhei, he quotes Rablazami Metz, who's Machmir, right? And the Shulchan Aruch quotes two opinions there and only the Mekel opinion here. So how do you answer this question? So the Chazon Ish says a very important yesod, and this helps us out Lamaisa a lot. Not everybody is aware of this Chazon Ish. I wasn't aware of it till recently, but it's so mistaver. The Chazon Ish says, when you're warming something up, let's say you have schnitzel, and you deep-fried schnitzel, and now you're warming it up. Is that roasting it? Is that re-cooking it when you warm something up? You have to really change the quality of what you're warming up to be called sli or afia. When you have, let's say, bread, and you're going to put it into boiling hot soup, okay, there's going to be a difference in that bread. But here, when you're taking schnitzel that was deep fried, and now you're going to warm it up, says the Chazon Ish, that's not called sliach rafia. That's called nothing. That's called reheating. Says the Chazon Ish, source number 9. Var, what an important Chazon Ish. V'yal karchach tzarech lomar. T'kol shelo yavo letam sli mamish. Elosh is yabish kzatz. It's going to get dried out a little bit. It's going to get warmed up. Ein bazeh bishol achabishol. You put it on, you're going to give it, you're going to roast it, you're going to make it smoky, you're going to make it taste barbecued. Okay, that's a difference. But otherwise, not. That answer is here in the Shulchan Aruch. The Chazon Ish says, in Sif Tezvav, it's not a true case of Tzliya Achar Bishol, because you're just warming it up. And the other Shulchan Aruch, he quotes two days there. That's one answer, says the Chazon Ish. But others, Rav Avadya, you have it there in source number 10, gives a different answer, and he says, really, the Shulchan Aruch paskins lakula. Even though the Shulchan Aruch quotes two opinions, he paskins lakula. Usually, what's the rule? When the Shulchan Aruch quotes two opinions, if he quotes the first one as a stama and the second one as a yesh omrim, you pass on like the stama, the first one. But here, they're both yesh omrims. So says the Rav Avadya, in that case, you could paskin like the second one. And not only that, Rav Avadya says here in source number 10, look closely. The first opinion, the Yireim, is quoted as a Yesh Misha Omer in singular. While the second opinion of the Rav Yah, the Yesh Batirin in the plural. So Rav Avadya says, that also pushes us to be Mekel. So Rav Avadya says, according to Svardim, there's no problem. We paskin like the Rav Yah, and therefore, you're allowed to be Bishol Achar Afiyah, Afiyah Achar Bishol, no problem. Like that Gemara, the Pasha of the Gemara in Maseches Brachos. And that's how you answer the Stira. In Sif Tezvav, he's only quoting the opinion that we hold like. But again, the Ramah is Machmer. The Ramah, for sure, is Lachumra in Sif Hey. He says, V'nagul Lizar L'Chadchila. Maybe that's why the Ramah says that, because he understood the Rosh Shulchan Aruch as being Mako, and therefore he felt that he should be Machmer. Rav Avadya's comment in source number 10, Halacha ki yesh omrim basra, and also it is again the singular and the plural as we said. Rav Yitzchak Yosef also in the Yakud Yosef says this heter, and therefore motulite pas b'marak. There's no problem putting the bread in the hot soup because we don't pass it like this whole chumra. It's a chumra. We don't pass it this way. That's what Rav Yitzchak Yosef says based on his father Rav Avadya, but other poskim, even Sephardic poskim, Rav Sion Abishol says no. Yesh la hachmir. It's not so mafurish that we're mako. The tribus are letzion in source number 12. on page 83, Iker Kedivri Ha'achronim B'Shulchan Aruch B'Simin Shin Yechesef Hei La'achmir B'Tzliach HaBishol. You should be machmir. V'yav Shehevi Yidim the Kota Das of the Yishomer Basra La'hatir. Givet Yechol Lechel Asapas below La'asos Otzrimim. I think Ein La'hakel Bazeh. And therefore L'maisa, the Archa Shabbos quotes many cases. Many cases that where this issue would come up. Kasvu aposkim she'ein lavashal davar afu yisli. If you have something baked or that was roasted, you cannot cook it afterwards. V'afshem aleches afia hi b'chal b'leches bishul. Even though it's already mavushal. And ein achar afia mikal makom pulas habishul noseres tam chadash b'machal. If there's a new taste, if there's something new accomplished in the second stage, v'choshim leser bishul achar afia v'lachein. Therefore. Putting boiling, bread in boiling hot soup, assuming, again, we're going to get into the cliche issues, but putting it in there would be a problem. Even in a cliche, he says, why? If you assume, like we did last time, that bread is kali bishul, so then putting it into a cliche, if the bowl is a cliche, so that's a problem. Because yesh afia achar bishul, and therefore this is a problem. Or so one of those, somebody has those baked croutons, the cubes, not the yellowed soup nuts, because those are deep fried. That's already mavushal. But baked croutons, so then that could be, it could be a problem. Ein litein, he says, ein litein biscuit b'to koste. Some have the minug of putting biscuits into their tea. So again, if the tea is a cliche and the biscuit, it's bishul achar afia. Afshei b'cliche ni. V'chulu. Ein litein tavlioso avkas sukarios afila b'cliche ni. If somebody has some other type of a powder, of powder that is, that was cooked and maybe baked in dry heat in the factory, but other types of afkatna meso, like soup powder or cocoa, any of those, that could be a problem because it could be bishal achar afia. But there could be a heter. I think we mentioned this last time as well, but now we see it inside. There is a heter, if you assume like the Rav Moshe that we saw last week, but the heter of klish lishi. It could be that your soup bowl is a klishlishi. As we've said, the ladle. If you use a ladle, it could be that the ladle is called a klisheni, and the bowl is called a klishlishi. And the Mishnah Berurah quotes that. We discussed that last time, I think, from the Taz and the Marshal. We mentioned it as a machlokas in Yeridea. And the post can say, if you just put this the ladle in, so does that give it the status of a kli risho? Because it's in the kli risho, but it's not on the fire. So the Mishnah Berurah says that at least you could consider the bowl a kli shlishi. We mentioned maybe the ladle, you'd have to be machmer to be called a kli rishon, but the bowl is a kli shlishi. And therefore, if you hold the heter of a Moshe about kli shlishi, you can do anything you want in a kli shlishi. Put bread or matzah. And that's what the Mishnah Berurah quotes in Source 14. L'chala pachos yishav bekaf mina kadeira shetia hakara kli klish lishi. Again, if it stays in there, some posts can say if the ladle stays in there a long time, like you just leave it, so you serve the soup, and while you serve the soup, you leave the ladle in the soup, then that gets a little trickier, because then maybe it steams up and it sits there. How long does something have to be on a fire to be called a kli rishon? So it could be that one shouldn't leave the ladle in if you want it to still be called a kli sheni to make the bowl into a kli shlishi. Good. Says the Shmir Shabbos also discusses this stira in the Shulchan Aruch. Again, the Shulchan Aruch said we had one answer of the Rav Avadia. He really passes the kula. The answer of Chazon Ish that he's not really being machmir. So we had those two. That would talk about the other stira. I'm sorry. The other stira of the Shulchan Aruch is the ladle called a kli rishon or a kli sheni and the bowl a kli shlishi. So we mentioned last time that it seems to be a stira in the Mishnah Berurah, and we mentioned it might be a speka d'dina, that the ladle could be called a kli rishon l'chumra, but the bowl could be either a sheni or a shlishi. So we view that as a shlishi. So there are, that's what the Shmir Shabbos notes. Maybe it should be machmir, but he notes in the footnote that there are those that are makel to consider the bowl a kli shlishi, and that's what the Archa Shabbos says. Lomaisa, lachein lomaisa, but there are klal din amarak hamunach b'tocha ka'arek a kli shlishi umuter litein b'tocha chatichas pasu matza. No problem putting anything in if you hold the heter of kli shlishi. Because of all this discussion, though, recognize that Rav Avadia said the Shulchan Aruch, there's no problem whatsoever. So remember what the yisod that we've said. There's never a problem of eating the food, because if there's any authoritative shita out there that is makel, then even if we paskin l'chumra, you could eat the food if it was done. So any type of reheating, any type of afiyah, or bishah, bishah, or afiyah, b'dieved is mutter, because the Shulchan Aruch First of all, you have the Rav Yah, and then you have the Shulchan, the Rav Avadi, who says that's what the Shulchan Aruch Pesach really is. So you could definitely eat the food bid the Evid. Rav Ribiat also, if you look on page 86 now, in source number 19, discusses warming up, taking food, taking chicken, taking anything, and warming it up in the way that you can warm it up, which we'll have to talk about in the next Shiurim about Shehiyah and Achazara. But you could even bring them close to the fire. Close to the fire, even as long as it's not violating any of the Isurei Durabanan because of the coolest that it is already dry. So Rav Ribiat, according to many poskim, only extremely intense dry heat radiating from a direct flame could cause a cooked food to become halachically roasted. But as we said, just warming things up is not a problem, as we said, based on that Chazonish. There is a discussion towards the end of this section about what about coffee. There are certain types of coffees where the coffee beans are already ground up, and maybe they're roasted, but they're not brewed. So roasted could be dry. That could be a fia, sli. And then afterwards, you're going to put it into the coffee, and then it could be bishel. So it's unclear exactly, even if it was sli. So you might say, machlokas, Ashkenazim and Sfardim, and Sfardim could be meko. But as is pointed out, Rabbi Heber in the article here that's quoted, and others in the OU Kosher said, it's not so clear that it's fully edible at the first stage, so it might not even be called a fia or tzli, and therefore just use a klish lishi if you rely on that heter of a remotion. Okay, that is all part one. One of four discussions that we need to have. Number one. Number two, interesting discussion, small discussion about making toast on Shabbos. And you're not putting a toast into the toaster, obviously, but how would you make toast? You take bread and you put it on a hot plate. You put it somewhere where it's going to get toasted. Is there any issue with that? So the Magen Avraham says that we agree that there's no tzli achar tzli, there's no afia achar afia, but there shouldn't be a problem, right? Because bread was baked, that's the dry heat, and now you're going to make it into toast, that's also dry heat. But there's a chumra that's noted by the Sholem Eishiv. The Sholem Eishiv, or Yosef Shol Nathanson, one of the great poskim of the 19th century, says, maybe look back at that Rambam. Remember we discussed the Rambam all the way at the beginning of our Bishul discussion. The Rambam says, what's the definition of Bishul? Where you soften something hard, you harden something soft through the medium of heat. That's the Rambam's Lashon in Perek Tes. Kol Shel Davar, he quotes it there in Source 23. Kol Sheripa Davar Kasha, O Shehiksha Kuf Rach Aser. So here you're taking something soft like a nice slice of bread, and you're going to make it hard by toasting it. Maybe that's Bishul, says the Sholem Eishiv in a Chumra. Right? He says, Yesh Lesser, based on that Rambam, Vitzarachian. The Ben Ishchai does not think that that's an issue of Bishul. He just thinks that if it's inedible totally, and now you make it edible, like by softening it, maybe that's not Makabapatish. But that is the Chumra of the Sholem Eishiv. The Shmir Shabbos actually is Machri here. Shmir Shabbos, you don't have it in your book, but the Shmir Shabbos in the first parak, Simon Ayin Aleph, quotes this Chumrav, and he notes in the footnote what it's based on, but he quotes, let me find it, in Aleph Ayin Aleph. Again, you don't have it in front of you, but I'll quote it here from the Shmir Shabbos. Says the, find it in the Simon about Bishol, Parak Aleph. Ein laniach lechem samach la'esh, kedei lahatsnimo, to make it snimin, which is toast, ki harei halechem mishtanim eskasha bakach. It gets hard. Others are mekel, Rav Avadia is mekel, the other poskim quoted here do not think it is a problem for Shlomo Zalman, and Erdis and Karelitz all think that it is not a problem of making toast. It's not, that's not what the Rambam means. When you want to harden something soft, something hard, it's talking about metals, not food. Food, sometimes things become hard, things become softer. There's no issue by foods. So Rav Avadia says in Source 25, in Yechavadas, Mikamal Kamnir Shein Divrei Hasholem Eishiv Mechorchan LaHalacha, Shedivrei HaRambam Einam Shayachem Lagabei Davar Machol, Shu Derech Achila, Derech Achila, how you eat it. And he quotes either Chuvas Rav Paolim that says it's Makabe Patish. I also don't think that's an issue. It is Lechora, not a problem. He quotes that maybe Rabbi Ullig thinks it's based on whether you have to get a new status of the food or a new taste of the food. So here by the bread, it's not a new status, but it's a new taste. Maybe it's a machlokas, the taz and the eglital, lemaisa or mako, as is summarized in the postgame, and you have in the source 28 in the Mishnah Berurah from Dirshu. Fine, number two. So that's in terms of, that's related to the bishol achar afia, afia achar bishol, but that's number two discussion that we'll have. Number three. Kirev bishulo, mimaher bishulo, hastening the cooking process. If something's on a fire and it's going to cook in 10 minutes, and I do something and I make a cook in 5 minutes, stirring it, remember we discussed that last time, I move it closer to the fire, that's aser daraisa. Kirev bishulo, even if it's going to cook anyway in a certain amount of time, if I hasten the process, makarev bishulo, that's a problem. And Tosfos says that, what's a classic case? Putting the cover on a pot if it's not fully cooked. We've discussed a number of times the Rambam and the Rashba. The Rashba says, once something is machlo ben drusoy, edible, there's no more bishul daraisa. We're machlo like the Rambam. Up until mevushal kol tzarcho, it is potentially aser daraisa. So what happens if, big problem, I shouldn't start it this way. Don't take off the cover of the chalent pot if some of the chalent might not be fully cooked. Because then putting it back on is going to be a problem. Even if it's off the fire, putting it back on is going to be a problem. We discussed last week as an extension of that kolbo and the magus that putting it on, maybe you should put it on before you put it back on the crock pot. But here this is talking about when it's not fully cooked. So Tosfos and Shabbos Daf Memches says that, be careful. Putting something, wrapping something in karm v'ksasos if it's not fully cooked. And Shulchan Aruch quotes that. The Shulchan Aruch on Reish Nun Dalid, Peiros HaNecholom Chayim, you could put fruit around the kedera. Umiyot Tzorach Lizar, Shalo Yachzer, Akisu Yim Neskala Mishach HaShecha. Don't put a cover back on. V'shalo Lahosev Alavad Sheyitzolo V'mnei Shemimaher Ligmar Bishulam B'Shabbos. Right, you're being Mimaher Bishulo. And the Bir Halacha notes, because we're Machmer like that Rambam, that there's still bishul daraisa that is relevant, even in a case where it is already cooked somewhat. And therefore, the Archa Shabbos says, 32, Nisbar la'el, sheroi lahakbid, right? This is something that not everybody is aware of, right? What if the chalent's not fully cooked yet? You put it up a couple hours before Shabbos, some of the barley is going to be still hard, so putting the cover back on could be a very serious issue. Don't touch the cover unless it's fully cooked. If it's fully cooked, but you know it's going to get better, what's called mistamik v'yafalo, that's fine. That's fine. But if it's not fully cooked, it's a problem. Says the Aruch HaShabbos, Sheroi lahakbid, shekala tafshilim ha'on demala eish, ola plata b'shabbos, make sure all of the everything that's on the fire is mevushalam kol tzarcha b'knisas ha'shabbos. V'yem ein atash mevushal kol tzarcha, if it's not, afilu rak echad mimarkivav, even if only one of the ingredients is not mevushal kol tzarcho, kagon kshashuis shebachamin, aser lasol shumaisa, hamosef chom bekedera, you can't do anything to increase the temperature. Umemar bezes bishulo, and therefore, what is included? Number one, aleph, can't move it closer to a fire, it's on a blech. Ein lakariv kedera b'matav da'el ha'esh, given shen nosif b'chom. V'yafilum chelek mimen omi, kenar, even keneged halava, even if it's already close, but you move it closer. Number two, if you take it off, putting it back on. Number three, it may be as mikhtra kadera. If you took off the cover, asur lashuv chasosa. You can't cover to put it back on. Kivan shayde kach mosef chom latavshil. Right, v'chenin hosef kisui nosaf. Putting another cover on it. Sometimes you have the covered Shabbos covering that one uses to keep things warm. So if there's anything under there that's not fully cooked yet, you can't do that. I'll give you another example that's not listed here. Some talk about reducing the volume. Let's say I have water. I put up the water up right before Shabbos, and it's not boiled yet. That's a danger, because what happens if I take some of the water out while the rest of the water is not boiled yet? So now the rest of the water is going to cook faster because I took some of the volume out. That's also kirev bishulo. One has to know, all types of kirev bishulo, of hastening the cooking process, is a problem, and one should be careful of that. Most other malachas, this doesn't happen by. Most other malachas is, it's either it's going to happen or it's not going to happen. Right? Either you don't have a case of doing something, something's going to happen quicker. It could be maybe by Zorea. You put a seed in the ground, and it's going to grow with the rain it's supposed to rain on Monday. It's going to grow. But what if I water it? So that's making it grow faster. So you have it by some other malachas that's causing the malacha. But here you have it by Bishul. You have it by Bishul as well. Fine. Last discussion relating to Bishul. It's not only, this one is not only a Bishul discussion. This is mostly a non-Bishul discussion, but it's put here in the booklet, and therefore we discuss it because it is an important issue. What about dealing with ice. Let's say I want to take water, a frozen thing, and put it on the fire. Obviously, I'm not allowed to do that. That's cooking the water. It's cooking the water. And it's lach, and bishalach, bishabalach. So let's talk generally about melting and defrosting. Melting and defrosting. The question is how to understand a Tosefta quoted in Shabbos Daf Nun Aleph. Nun Aleph Mabez, the Gemara quote, source number 33 now on page 95. Ein merazkin. You're not allowed to crush up on Shabbos. Lo asa sheleg, velo asa barad, b'Shabbos. Snow or hail. Bishvil sheyazuv meimav. You can't crush on Shabbos snow or hail so that the liquid flows. You can't do that. Aval nosin lotocha kos lotocha ka'ara. But I can just put the snow or hail in a cup, pastures with other stuff in there already, as we'll see. Vinachoshi, that you don't have to worry about. So what's the issue here? Right? What is the potential problem of crushing up ice or snow? So it's very not clear. Three shitas in the Rishonim. Rashi, the Sefer HaTruma, and the Rashba. And we'll see, the Rambam seems to all like the Rashba. Says Rashi. Rashi comes up with a new term. Why can you do this? Molid. Not nolad, but molid. You are creating. You can't create on Shabbos something in a new form. You're being molid. If I'm taking ice and I'm crushing it up into a liquid, I am directly, actively creating a new form. And therefore, mishum dekam molid b'Shabbos, says Rashi, v'dami l'malacha. It's comparable to a malacha, she'borei amayim ha'elu, I am creating this water. Molid. He doesn't say nolad. Nolad, that a memela, something becomes new. No, molid, active. But you could put it into, you could crush it even maybe into water. Or Rashi says not. You could put it. What if I'm going to put it into, I'm going to put ice into a liquid. I'm going to put ice into a cup of soda. So then as it melts, there's no molded, first of all. I'm not even doing anything. Maybe I could even crush it into the water because when it gets its new status, it's already bottled. It's not nikar, the new status. That's how the Achronim understand Rashi Shita. Only creating something new on its own. The Sefer HaTruma quoted, and it's a separate Sefer, but it's also quoted there in the Rashba, says, no, not molid, nolad. It's which is a form of muksa. Asur says the Sefer HaTruma, l'ma'echa sheleg la'asosot tzolakim o'mayim mevreshu nolad, not just molid. V'chein nirash asur la'asis pashtida b'me'achar p'tzada eish l'chamama. Defrosting something, says the Sefer HaTruma. Putting pashtida, which is an oily type of kugel, putting it near the fire in order to defrost it on Shabbos. Problem, lefisha hashamnunis sheyesh ba nikrash, the liquid, the oil was congealed. V'nase avekafui v'ata nimcha. Now it's going to be liquefied. V'nase tzalav avinolad. Right, you put anything into a situation where you're causing it to change its form, even if you are not actively crushing and changing the form, it's a problem. It's a problem. What's the heter of the Tosefta? You can put it into a kos, into a ka'ara. That's what I said before. If you take an ice cube and you put it into a water, so then memela, it's not nikar when it changes form, and therefore it's not a problem. Avalim matzniya chatichas barich, akoran galsa, ba'omek ha'karka. If you hide it in a karka, if you put it in a cup of wine, mutter, says the Sefer HaTruma. Avo bishu nimchasham, even though it's going to be it's going to melt. Tahavi grama ba'alma. Ume'elav nimcha. You're not actively doing it. It's memela. V'gam nosta b'tocha yayin. Ukshabara nimcha azu misariv umisbatel b'yayin shebekos ve'nikar. Not a problem. Not a problem. So what's the issue of the Gemara? Rashi, molid. Sefer Chuma, nolad. Rashba and Rambam, nothing to do with this. Rashba and Rambam say, the Rashba does not like the Sefer HaTruma. He notes the difference between molid and nolad. Umashakasev Rav, we should become molid. Lav lamesa mishim nolad kama. Rashi is not saying nolad, like the Sefer HaTruma. Elisha isr mishim srach malacha. Rashi is because you're creating something. Aval Sefer HaTruma kasev shu isr nolad. Uledvarav, says the Rashba, according to the Truma, afilu b'chama asr. Even in the sun, even just room temperature, it should be nolad. Because it's about putting it in a situation where the form is going to change. But it's interesting, the Sefer Truma doesn't say just stop defrosting. Hidafka says putting it near a fire. So maybe that you have to have something active. Something active. In any case, the Rashba thinks that, no. The issue here is gzera mishum, squeezing fruit. You're not allowed to squeeze fruit because of the malacha of dash, which Beit Hashem will get to. So this is similar to squeezing fruit, says the Rashba in Source 38, Veli Nira, to be shum gzeras schita de peris, ha'om de lamash genoguba. Schita's peris, b'beisha barad v'asheleg l'meimein heim omdin, because the barad is for their liquid, and it's similar to, case of squeezing out fruit. That's why it's not doesn't appear like schita, like squeezing it if you're doing it into other liquid, only if it gets the status itself. So this is, and then the Magen Mishnah thinks that that's the view of the Rambam, because the Rambam quotes this halacha in the context of squeezing out fruit. So what do we paskin? We have three different shitas. What is the basis of this isser of Ein Marazkin about crushing fruit? Rashi, Truma, Rashba. Says the Shulchan Aruch in Source 40. What about the Pashtida case? Remember, the Truma says you can't put the Pashtida next to the fire. The Shulchan Aruch says, yes, you can. So the Shulchan Aruch does not pass like the Truma. That we know for sure. Mutter Litain Ampanda Kinegara Ish. Source number 40. Shinu Ches Tazayin. B'makam Shiyasa Ledesbo. You can't put it next to the fire in a yatzo ledesbo, right? Why? V'yavol b'shashuma. You can. I'm sorry. V'yavol b'shashuma shabon nikrash because of any muach. You can put it there. You can put it there, right? There's ein bishul achar bishul. It's solid, and therefore, what's the issue? There is no issue. You're allowed. It's going to get liquefied. That's okay. Why? Because the Shulchan Aruch seems to either pass on like Rashi, molid, and you're not actively doing anything, or like the Rambam and the Rashba, but not like the Truma. And the Rama says v'yesh machmirin. So the Rama says lechadchila we pass on like the Truma, not for stam defrosting. It seems like, because remember, even the Truma only talks about it by putting it by the fire. V'nagu lahachmir umiyu b'makom tzarech yishlus b'chasvar rishona. But the Rama says yishlus b'chasvar rishona b'makom tzarech. Says the Mishnah Berura. Hainu to azafilu lechadchila mutter ubeviyevet b'chol gavni and lesser. Remember, but the evidence for sure okay because there's a sheet out there that says it is. It is mutter. The Shulchan Aruch does quote the issur of crushing ice. That's the Gemara. You can't crush it, but note the tocha kos. You can put it into a kos. Why? Because if you put it obviously into a separate kos, that is the either molid or gzera of schitas peiros. The Mishnah Berurah explains that according to the Shulchan Aruch, you can leave ice to melt even lechadchila, because we don't pass it like the sefer atruma. You can leave ice to melt. According to the Rama, you should not leave ice to melt, because the Chachila, it seems like the Sefer HaChuma. What should you do for the Rama? You want to serve ice. Put it into the drink first. Put the drink in, and then put the ice in. That's what the Rama would say, Lechadchila. Or the ice and put the drink right away, right afterwards. So again, you don't want it to melt, because the second it melts separately, it's Nikar, and therefore it's a problem. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah says. Das HaRama, Hacha Yish LaHachimer. So Lechadchila, taking ice out of the freezer and putting it into a cup. So the Shulchan Aruch is all mutter. The only issue is active, molid. But according to the Rama, it quotes like the Sefer HaChuma Lechadchila, and therefore one can do it only in a case where, let's say, it's going to be melted into something right away. The Mishnah Berurah also does note that we're only talking about a case by the Pashtita where there's going to be a serious puddle of liquid. But if it's just going to be moist, that's not called liquid. We discussed this by Lach and Yavish definitions in the earlier Shiurim too. But the Mishnah Berurah says, "Avolam ein al apashtida kol kach shuman." It doesn't have so much liquid on it. Osha ma'amido kol kach perichuk makom menachom. You're so far from the heat source. Shelo yeni moach hachiyazav lachutz. There won't be a puddle. Ela ma'at. So that's for sure okay. That's for sure okay, even according to the Rama. So la maisa, putting all this together in terms of defrosting. And we spoke about ice. We spoke about ice in terms of the seems to be machlokas b'chav of the Rama, whether you can just put it in a cup and have it melt. The Rama says lachachila not to do that, because we're machmir like the truma lachachila. Says the Archa Shabbos, Source 45, to sum this up. Im hotzi me'amakareh rotev dogim karush v'nifsha me'ilav. You took from the fridge some type of congealed fish. Mutter la'achlo. And if you want to cause it, you can even warm it up. If you have a lot of gravy, so then that might be liquid. But again, even if you're going to put it into a place where it's not going to get the Aso Leather Spell, but you're going to be actively putting it there, maybe you shouldn't because of molid, but welcome Tzarech, it is mutter. And if it doesn't have too much liquid, then for sure it is mutter in any case. What about ice cubes? So again, the Aruch HaShabbos says, now on page source 46, page 100. One cannot crush. This has to do, by the way, also with snowballs. Snowballs, having a snowball fight. What are the issues about having a snowball fight on Shabbos? One of them is meraskin, because you are, when you throw a snowball, so first of all, when you hold a snowball, when you make a snowball, that's probably risuk, right? And also throwing a snowball when it hits something, that's also risuk. So l'chara, that's a problem, besides other issues that might be there. Says the Aruch HaShabbos, in l'rasik kerach v'shelag v'lhofkam l'mayim. Mutter litam kubios kerach. You could put ice cubes into liquid, according to everybody. Right, the karach is nimcha nimas me'elav. When ice melts, that's for sure not a problem. That's for sure not a problem. Hapos kenachluku ima isla rase karach lofcha l'mayim nomer gambo v'nshakarach nimsa b'tocha mashke. So most are mekel. Some say, he quotes here, what about if I have ice in my cup already and I want to like stir it, so like to make it cold? So there are those that say that's like risuk, because that's actively causing it to crush and get colder. But he quotes a machlokes about that. What about, according to this, l'chora, the Rama, what about putting ice cubes in a bowl? Sometimes on the table you put ice cubes in a bowl, but according to the Rama, you shouldn't do that, like this, based on the Sefer HaTruma. So there are those that say, if you put ice cubes in a bowl, just put a little bit of water in the bottom of the bowl before. If you look in the Aruch HaShabbos, he just quotes, Nasan kubios kerach b'ka'ara reka, if you already put it empty in a bowl, v'nimochan and melted, mutter machlokes, whether you're allowed to drink. What, is that water muksa? According to the Sefer Chum, it's muksa. But the Ramah says, b'makam tzarech yesh la hakel, b'makam tzarech. Mutter l'shos mayim o'eluv, yeshakas v'tov li'imanim l'shos machlokes, whether you're allowed to drink that or not. But again, l'chad chila, according to the Ramah, it seems like put a little water in the bottom and then put the ice cubes in. And putting ice cubes directly into your cup, for sure, it is okay. Again, congealed fat or gravy, we spoke about that already, so that's what you have a couple of other sources related to that. How do you determine in terms of bishul? So we mentioned then, but we'll mention it again now, because the Magen Avraham says it here, that bishul for lach and yavish is determined by present temperature, not what it's going to be after you cook it. So if something's going to be liquefied after you cook it a little bit, that's still called solid. That's yavish. The Magen Avraham. V'linira delo dami, tahaka kimish nesbashol kvar v'hu yavish, ein bo bishom bishol. And the Mishnah Berurah says, kivan shebishah shenosno lachamamo lo nimche adayin, that is called a solid. It could be, the Aruch HaShabbos says, it could be that if something is totally inedible when you first take it out and you're going to make it into a liquid, maybe that's more of an issue. Right, let's say you have a frozen fruit soup that you're going to eat cold. Frozen fruit soup. So he says, maybe that's an issue, right? Because right now when it's frozen, you know, it's not edible. And that when you, maybe that's really more of a nolad issue. So he says it could be that he's machalik in that way. Just one, two other points. What about the other way, going from liquid to solid? Not solid to liquid, but liquid to solid. Again, this has nothing to do with bishul. But once we're on the discussion of ice, what about making ice on Shabbos? What about making jello? So the Shmir Shabbos quotes the issue first relating to ice. So Shmir Shabbos is very, you have to always be medactic in his language. When the Shmir Shabbos first wrote his Sefer, he didn't realize it was going to become such a staple of observant Jews' houses. So he wrote it, so he realized, when he realized people were being medactic in every word that he wrote, that's why he wrote so many editions, and he was very medactic, especially towards the later editions, especially the last edition, right before he was Nifter. So that's why if you look here in the Shmir Shabbos, in Perek Yud, Oz Dalet, in Source 51, he doesn't say Asur, he doesn't say Mutter. He says, Tov lihimana, better not to. Meaning to do what? To make ice on Shabbos. To make ice on Shabbos, better not to. Why? Because that's like creating a new form. And we said it works the other way. Meraskins, this is the opposite of meraskin, but it might be the same issue. But it doesn't say it's us or why? Because you're not actually doing it. You're putting it into the freezer, that's true, but it's not the same as meraskin, not as active. So that's the Shmir Shabbos. Tov li'imani milasis b'shabbos v'yondav mayim l'toch te ha'hak pa'ah. Amanas lahovcham lekubias kerach, unless it's a tzarech. If you're having a lot of guests and a really hot day, a tzarech. But other poskim are makel straight up, Right? Rabbi Tzion Abishol said it's mutter based on the Shulchan Aruch, based on the Sfardim, for the Shulchan Aruch says you're allowed to let ice melt. Right? That's the Arlet Tzion. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein and Rabbi Tzitz Eliezer are both also quoted as saying there's no problem making ice on Shabbos. You have in the Mesoras Moshe, he says 53, he says, why did the Poskim quote this earlier? Right? Things were cold in the days of old. Right, even though they didn't have freezers, but still, Shafam Shemekarin lo hayu b'meim zman chazal, says Rav Moshe. Avam mikol makom avir kar b'chorif haylam. They had cold air. V'lo muskar she'asur l'shum mayim b'chutz b'Shabbos. Nobody says you can't put water outside on Shabbos. Ramiach ha'avir yafchul l'karach. Nobody says that. It must be it's not a problem. Right, they had, not even you want to say the Amoraim didn't have it so cold in Bavel, but the Rishonim, right? Many of the Rishonim they lived in cold places, the Achronim for sure. So Rav Moshe assumes it's Lakula. The Tzitz Eliezer assumes it's Lakula. He says a different svar. You have it there in the footnotes because it's not a true form. The Tzitz Eliezer says, unless it's in the freezer, it's going to melt. It's going to melt anyway in room temperature, and therefore it is not a true change of form. And what about the other idea about making other solid items? So the Shevet Alevi talks about making jello. So he says, first of all, it could be an issue of lush, which we didn't talk about yet, kneading, where you have a normal case of kneading, where you have dough, but here you're ending up with powder and water, and it's going to end up as a solid, as a semi-solid. So it's an issue of lush. Maybe it could also be an issue of a creation, like we said, you're creating a new form. Would you say the same thing by ice, by jello? Maybe, but either way, he assumes it's a problem. He thinks one shouldn't make it because it's similar to making ice, and it could be a lush issue as well. Okay, we'll have to stop here. This is the last shiur on Bishul D'Oraisa. This is shiur number 2 in our volume 18 of the Tzurvei Me'Rabbanan Svarim. And B'ez Hashem, we will continue next time with Bishul D'Rabbanan number 1. That is Shehiyah, leaving foods on. How do you leave foods on a heat source before Shabbos? Then Hachzara, how do you put things on a heat source on Shabbos? And then Hatmana, how do you insulate before Shabbos and on Shabbos? Have a great day.